Sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
And tune into your favorite podcast.
Where things will be misquoted.
And opinions ain't sugar-coated.
'Cause DJ and Kelly are locked and probably loaded.
Yeehaw! I like to keep the mic further away from me because I think it makes my head look incredibly small. Hi, this is DJ Qualls. Welcome to Locked and Probably Loaded with DJ and Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, how's it going? Why do you want your head to be small?
I feel like my head looks small. Look at this microphone.
Oh, you mean when it's closer
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, I'm wearing tiny sunglasses. And my head still looks small. That's why I love selfies so much, because I can get close up in the frame because of forced perspective.
You are very particular about taking the selfies when people ask you for pictures.
Yeah, I know. It's because, you know, here's the thing. It's because when you're in public and you're trying to get from point A to point B, people get nervous and forget how to operate their cameras. Mm-hmm. So, and then your friends that you're hanging out with get bored of your shit and then stop hanging out with you. So really, the reason why I'm so particular with selfies is because I'm worried about dying alone.
I think the first time I ever really, like, because people will come up to you in bars here and there, but when we went to Universal for the first time, I was like, oh yeah, he's famous. Like, I completely forgot that that was the case, but there were just people gawking.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, here's the thing. I get asked this a lot. Like, you get used to anything. The only thing that's evergreen annoying about being recognizable is when you every time I fucking try to eat spaghetti in Publix, there's always somebody right there with a camera. It's every time. And I love spaghetti so much. Every year on my birthday, I have a spaghetti bolognese, and there's always somebody crawling over the back of the booth to take a photo of me while I'm doing it.
What if there's a whole account that you don't know about? It's just DJ Qualls eats spaghetti.
I'm sure there's a fetish for that. But normally I could be bleeding out of my eyeballs walking through public and people wouldn't see me. The moment I order a spaghetti bolognese, it's all phones out all the time. So Kelly, I haven't seen you in a minute. I've been traveling the
world.
Yeah,
tell me about your trip.
I went to New Orleans. Is that where I went? No.
Yeah.
I went to San Diego first. It was a good time. Nothing really monumental happened. I went out in Old Town. Have you ever been to Old Town San Diego?
Yes. I can't think. I've been to the Gaslamp, right?
Not, mm-hmm. That's right.
I keep mixing
say.
It with Gaslight.
The Gaslight District.
I think I've been to Old Town, but most of the times I've been to San Diego, I've been extremely not lucid.
Yeah, you've been drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, same here, but at some point you get to a place where you can remember stuff. And I remember some of this trip. Old Town San Diego looks like, it's like the Mexican equivalent of like a colonial Williamsburg. Mm. It's a fake Mexican village. I think it used to be a real Mexican village because, you know, we took California from Mexico. I think it used to be a real one. But now it's people like in traditional Mexican clothing from like the turn of the, or like the 1800s.
So they colonized it and then rebranded it as a Mexican village.
It's fucking weird.
White people are the worst, dude.
And so I'm with, you know, a bunch of white people and sitting around at an authentic Mexican restaurant that is like Mexican colonial Williamsburg. It was fucking weird. And nobody thought it was weird but me.
Really?
Yeah, nobody thought it was weird. I was like, it's like the Disneyland. It's
oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes, I have been. I think I've eaten at a Mexican restaurant in Old Town.
Yeah, I think that Mexican restaurant is right behind that Old Town San Diego sign. Yeah, it looks like a fake Mexican village based on a real Mexican village. It used to be one.
why did you have to take down all the buildings just to rebuild
exactly,
this stuff
that
looks new?
These Mexican buildings are disgusting. Let's make exact replicas of them. Yeah. So anyway, we went down there. That was sort of the thing that stood out the most about the trip. I mean, otherwise it's just like, you know, going around drinking and seeing people. Because all my friends down there are bartenders, servers, bar owners. It was just, I went down because after a while I start getting shit for not going down there. Mm-hmm. This year I've been reasonably busy. So then after that, I came back for a couple days and then went to New Orleans to look at a house because I lived in New Orleans years ago and I've been thinking about buying a second house there for a long time. So I've been saving for like 5 years, mm-hmm. For the down payment. And I don't think it's going to happen.
And we texted about this. So where did you land on that? Cause it's, I mean, you made it sound like the market probably is not going to be something where this is an investment
These
property
places
where
do not go up in value. Yeah. I looked at a condo that was going for the same price it sold for in 2015. They don't increase.
Yeah.
So you just basically, you pay your HOA and your taxes and your mortgage and you just have it. And you can't really rent it because, and I agree with this, they don't have a lot of short-term rentals. I think it's illegal because New Orleans is a party place, so people go and buy the real estate away from locals and they can't afford to live there. So I understand that. But the problem is, even though I agree with it morally, it makes no financial sense. And so, but I love New Orleans, but it's always the fourth night anywhere that wrecks it for me. Second night for Vegas, but the fourth night in New Orleans. I got torn down so badly that I had to drive to Lafayette on 2 hours sleep and felt so...
Wait, what do you mean you got torn down so badly?
I got so drunk.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I got 2 hours sleep.
I was like, did somebody emotionally abuse you or what's happening
You don't
here?
Say torn down?
No.
What words do you use for drunk?
Blacked out.
No, blacked out is a scary. That's a scary term.
Well, torn down sounds pretty bad too.
Torn down.
Got run down.
Gooned. Did you say gooned?
What? That doesn't even sound appropriate. That sounds like maybe we should bleep it. I don't know.
Gooned.
Is that a bad
gooned.
Word?
Tore
no,
up.
It's
they say tore up.
Tore up.
Tore up. Yeah.
Tore up. Toe up from the flow up. You ever heard that before?
Yeah, that's actually the one I use most.
I've never heard you say that ever.
That's because I haven't been toe up from the flow up around you before. Just wait.
So I can't wait. So I got really, and I wound up only getting 2 hours sleep and then I had to go for a second viewing of the place I liked and pretending that I was fine. And then the rental car situation, I ordered a rental car through my credit card company, and to get a rental car is like a 7-step process in New Orleans. You go to the airport, there's a shuttle, and like you have to go up some stairs. Well, I thought Ace Rental Car was a name brand of rental car. I don't think it is. I think I mixed it up with Avis.
Ace is a hardware store.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mixed up the hardware store. Stereotypes are true, y'all. I don't know.
Doesn't know his way around a hammer.
So does me. So I mixed it up, and so Ace Rental Car is in a shack about 4 miles away from it, and there's no signage that tells you about it. So I called that 1-800 number for Amex Travel, and they didn't pick up. And so I finally found a local number for them, and they said, this is the instructions they gave me. Go sit on a white bench. There's not a sign there, and a man will be along directly to pick you up. That's exactly how I got my rental car. And I, at this point, I'm near crisis point hurting. Like I can't pretend anymore. So then I go get the rental car, and there's a giant crack in the windshield and four chips out of it. I mean, it was like, it's like two people that own a bunch of, like they bought a bunch of cars at a car auction,
right?
And renting them out. There was like she gave me my fingerprints, which I've never had to do before.
Fingerprints?
Yeah, I was like,
maybe they're just stealing the cars and the bodies.
Yeah. And so as I'm driving away, I see all these cracks in the windshield. And when the guy was walking around, he was like, "Well, the car's fine. There's a little ding on the bumper here," not acknowledging the fact that the windshield is busted out.
Oh God!
So I get in the car and it starts to rain like 4 inches an hour. Like I'd forgotten it did that there, and I haven't driven in rain. We live in Southern California. I haven't driven in rain in years, and so it took me 4 hours to make a 2-hour drive. So what I started doing is I started just mapping out Sonics, and so I was like, "You can get to the Sonic." So I would get to the Sonic, order a drink,
your safe space,
yeah.
and journey checkpoint.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. So I go up there, I work, come back, and now I'm really confused about what to do. I don't want to not buy the place because I said I would, but this was also before I met my partner. Mm-hmm. And actually he reminded me, he's like, you haven't asked me about this at all. And I'm like, oh, I haven't actually. Thinking about somebody else sucks.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't want to be in a relationship.
Yeah, and then I started panicking about being married and didn't think I'd be very good at it. And then I thought about, what if I wind up one of those people on Dateline where I do, I don't know, officer, he went out to buy a pack of gum and he never came home. Like, what if I turn into that guy? It scares me all the time. It scared, like, and actually, that's what I talk about when I look at other people's relationships and they're happy. I'm like, oh, they're in their first 10 minutes of a Dateline episode.
Right.
When everything is fine.
Yep. I mean, that was part of my maid of honor speech at Grant and Mylene's wedding, was basically talking about how each of them are a statistic. It's like, you know, statistically, this person's your lover, your friend, your life partner, and statistically the person who is most likely to murder you.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting? I mean, I love the guy. It just made me think about things that I wouldn't normally think about. And they're probably things that you don't need to think about.
Well, I think it's a really interesting point, because I think there's a lot of pressure, especially when it comes to commitment, because everybody feels like they need to fit into some traditional idea of how marriage goes or relationship goes or whatever. But like, you guys don't have a traditional, you will never have a traditional relationship.
Right.
So you don't need to worry about the things that other people worry about when it comes to commitment.
Yeah, like social mores. And like, if you have a non-traditional relationship, trying to fit it into a traditional mold is dumb.
Yeah, and really
stressful. You're suffering twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only am I not like you and we get side-eyed, now I'm trying to make myself like you and I don't want to be like you.
Right.
I do not want to do this. Hey, babe, I'm going out to hang out with some friends. Is that okay? And then be told no. That mm-hmm. stuff scares me.
Yeah.
I know that's traditional commitment
stuff.
But
you also I don't even feel like that would happen. Like, there's the one thing that I support so much about your relationship is because I feel like you guys are at the point where there's no conversation that you couldn't have.
That's true.
Rationally and calmly and all that stuff. And that's why I feel like we work too, because it's like, I don't think there's anything that I would be afraid to come to you with and that I think you would react in a way that, you know, made me feel like I couldn't be open with you.
Yeah,
about
that's
something.
True.
So,
and that, we have the same thing. And also at this age, sex is dying. So I don't even have to worry about that. I know it's a mercy killing, isn't it?
Thank God.
I
sex is so 2010
for us. No. So I was in New Orleans and got in a man who, was named Beauregard Robichaud.
No,
his name was basically
fake
New Orleans.
Person.
New Orleans. I saw his business card.
Fake person.
Misjudged.
Was it a spirit? Was it a? No. You could touch him.
He touched me against
in more ways than
without
one.
Asking. We were talking, and you know, I'll shoot the shit with anybody, and I love that. I love talking to somebody for 5 hours that I've never met, and. I made a movement and he thought it was, he misjudged it and he open mouth kissed me.
Yeah. Oh, so he did touch you.
And then he apologized. He apologized. And, you know, I was like, you know, I could understand how you maybe thought that movement was, you know, going in for a kiss. I was like, no harm, no foul. And he was a really nice guy. But then afterward, I was thinking, and I was like, I think that part of me may be dead anyway.
Yeah. You're like, you felt nothing.
No, I felt nothing.
You didn't even feel violated.
No, I didn't,
I'm so over it. I can't even feel violated anymore. I don't care. It's a shell.
But it was kind of like that. It felt like nothing. I mean, it was almost like he brushed my hand.
Yeah.
It really... And then I became worried. And now I've come to a place of acceptance. And all this was like in the course of 3 days. I don't like to think about things too much.
I know. We were supposed to hang out last night, but you were just like, no. I'm spiraling. And yeah. I was like, just take the night.
That's the thing. I did last night. I had a panic episode that crashed hard into like a depressive episode that resolved itself quickly. And it was... So I'm pretty honest with this in like my daily life, and I think we all should be honest about this stuff. I've had anxiety and resulting depression for years. I've taken medication for it, but I pulled out some. It happened last night, and it usually happens when everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. Like, same with me,
because you have time. I bet cave people did not have depression because they had too much shit going on.
Yes.
But when I just come off a trip, I had a lot of things on my mind, and then I opened up my email, which I had not looked at since I'd been gone, and saw like 4 emails up from a job that I've accepted, 2 emails about a job that I've been offered that I haven't taken yet, and some travel stuff. and all things that are completely manageable. And it, and I got this sense of avoidance. Mm-hmm. Then I started getting panicky. And then I am walking to the corner market to get some food. And waves, like almost like I'd taken MDMA, but the opposite of it, like rolling waves of sadness are rolling all over me. And I'm like, I may throw up. I thought I was going to throw up. And then I thought I would start sobbing on the street. Then I went and sat down in bed and I was like, you don't have to do any of this. There is no, there's nothing that says that just because you or have to work or supposed to work right now, this is what matters. Mm-hmm. So releasing that really helped me. And then I started telling somebody about it, a friend of mine who lives in Vancouver, and I didn't send the text. And I've forgotten that how I used to deal with this, just a rusty tool I used to use, is that when I was in the middle of one of these episodes, I would just open up my app, my notes app, and start writing it in there. Mm-hmm. And it would dissipate it. Like it would give it context. I mean, it's basically therapy, right?
Yep.
And it really helped. And then it went away. And then 2 hours later, I was eating hot Cheetos in my bed and felt completely normal. But the thing is, it's a real thing. And I didn't want to tell Ty about it because he doesn't experience this. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he's not sympathetic. He just cannot understand it because some people wake up every day happy for no reason.
I don't understand. I don't either.
Like, not I find having it
a mental illness is a mental illness. You are out of your fucking mind if you can find a way to wake up happy every goddamn day.
For real though, I find it fascinating. And I have a friend who wound up getting divorced from her husband because of it, because she actually found it annoying.
Yeah.
Because he was so happy every day. It doesn't annoy me. Don't bring it on me though, because I go through the 5 stages of grief every morning about being awake. Like the first 30 minutes, like I go through anger, deal making, the whole thing every single day, and get to a place where I can get into the shower.
Yeah.
And then usually things are fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing, is that whenever people, people kill themselves from depression, and they'll say, well, they seemed fine. It's because they were fine maybe when you saw them. And mm-hmm. these things are not mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. Some days, for no reason, like, you just can't. And the thing that I really was thinking about yesterday is that I said out loud, thank God this didn't happen in front of people. And I was like, well, it doesn't happen in front of people because I'm occupied.
And you're masking when you're around other people because you don't want people to feel uncomfortable with sadness or depression. Like, I've always been extremely, maybe TMI about my mental health stuff. And I've made a lot of like flippant jokes that some of my friends feel worried about. But I think that's the only way to do it, is to like normalize the conversation for me so that it doesn't feel like such a giant spiral every single time. But that's the same thing. It's like, I found that usually my depression will come on when everything's going really well. And that's even harder because then you shame yourself for having those thoughts, because you're like, but everything's going well right now. Like, why are you being so ridiculous? This is so fucked up. Like, what do you have to complain about? Right. Blah, blah, blah. And you do the shame spiral. Now I feel like I have a lot better tools to manage it, which is good. But also just having friends that, like, I mean, somebody that I dated that we both know, like, one of the things that I appreciated about him was when I would, like, when I text somebody else, like, this fucking sucks, I don't even want to be here anymore or whatever, like, just to vent, other people would be like, but Kelly, no, everybody loves you and your life is so great and blah, 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 and you shouldn't go. And he would just go, I know, life fucking sucks.
Oh,
and,
really?
Like, I just liked that he didn't try to fix my thought process at the time. Yeah, yeah. It was just, he just let me, because he felt the same way too. It's like, he dealt with his own mental health issues. And so that was really nice to have somebody that I didn't have to justify the feeling to.
And you don't want somebody to try to fix it.
No, because right? Because also I know that it's a fleeting thought, you know, like that is one of the things that I can recognize now, is that like a lot of people think depression is like just the big sad. Right, like something really sad happened and the person doesn't know how to deal with it. But that's the fucked up part.
It's connected to nothing.
Like I look back on some of the most traumatic events of my life and they didn't trigger any depression for me. I was too busy dealing with the situation at hand. It's like when your mind wanders. I mean, I had a rough week mentally just thinking, like, so full disclosure, we have banked these episodes. We have not launched the podcast yet because you're going to do a movie.
I'm
going to
go shoot a movie, y'all.
So, you know, in the future, things will become a lot more topical and we'll be able to answer emails and all that stuff. But there is this fear in the banking of the episodes that I started going, what are you doing, Kelly? Like, you were just a sidekick on Jim's podcast and who cares about Unsolicited, because nobody knew who you three were. And so you don't, there's no pressure there. But like, DJ actually has, you know, this base and you're going to be a big part of this and people are going to be like, who the fuck are you? And I like totally spiraled.
I understand.
But then you texted me the other day and you were like, I believe in you. But like, just out of nowhere, like that was really, I started crying when you texted me because I was like, I needed to hear that in that moment. Like, all this new shit is scary, but everything that I've ever done that's worth doing has scared the fucking shit out of me before yeah.
It's imagination started. And trying is fucking hard. That's yeah. why a lot of people don't do it. Do you think that you think those things because you're crazy?
Yeah.
That's what I thought 100%.
Too. Yeah, 100%. Wackadoodle up here. I just posted a video on TikTok that was like, it was suggested to me to get a dog to help cure my depression. So now instead of my monthly cry because my brain's fucking torturing me, I cry at least once a week thinking about how my 3-year-old dog is going to die someday. Thank you. New depression unlocked.
It really is. You know, especially because a lot of depression is built in anxiety, right? Like, mm-hmm. And the good thing about what happened yesterday that I was proud of is after a while of like being aware of what's happening and being present in it, like hurting through it and also registering feelings and remember the feelings where I knew I wasn't on the precipice of a major depressive event. Mm-hmm. I was depressed for 2 years
yeah.
once
yeah.
And had to get some real help to get out of it because that comes on so gradually that you're in it and you don't even know you're in it. And then suddenly nothing, you completely don't feel anything anymore. And then that becomes painful. Mm-hmm. The what made me feel good, even in the terrible feelings I was having, I was like, I know that this is. This is based on nothing. It is temporary. Mm-hmm. And this is going to roll off of me. And it did roll off of me. And I was like, it's very important to just, when you're going through this, first of all, own responsibility. Look at your triggers. And that's what I was saying. What around me started this? I was like, well, nothing really started it, but just the idea that I had to do something that I may not be good at. And I haven't acted in a movie for a second. Well, mm-hmm. actually, that's not true. I just finished a movie, but I don't know.
Whoops.
But you know what? And that's yeah. awesome. But just, I don't know what the movie's going to be like. And I'm going to meet a whole new cast of people. And maybe they won't like me. All these fears are, like, once I built a fear of getting in the shower because we had a minor earthquake. And at that point, I lived in a place where the shower was in the tub. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what if the roof collapsed on me and I was pinned under the sheetrock and the water was still running? I would drown. And that became a real fear. And that's wackadoodle shit. That's not going to happen. But you can't tell yourself. It's very hard to talk yourself out of that.
I've found a new trick that is just like naming the thoughts in your brain, like pretending it's somebody else completely. So like, oh, that's Steve and he's just talking shit to me.
Oh, that's
and
good.
Like, it actually does detach you from, because like our thoughts are not reality. We can choose the thoughts that we have. And if I can choose the thoughts, why are all the thoughts I'm choosing really negative about myself? Like that does it, if I can choose to think anything, why wouldn't I just think some positive stuff and hope I gain something from it? So I think positive things about myself. Steve hates me.
Fuck Steve.
Yeah, fuck Steve.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, he's a real piece of shit.
Can you remind me of this?
Yeah.
Because we're covering so many things here and just shooting this shit. I mean, that's something I would like to try.
Yeah. It's just, because when you think about it that way, it's like, and if you, even better, if you could name it somebody from your actual life that you think maybe has been a little bit jealous of you, even better. Because then you go, oh, fuck Steve. He's just jealous.
Now you know, I'm sad.
Somebody
now,
from childhood.
Now I'm sad. I don't think anybody's ever been jealous of me. Thanks, bitch.
That was Steve. That was my bad. That was Steve said that, not me.
Oh, no.
No, people have been jealous of you, of course. I'm sure there are people who like wanted to drag you back down to reality as soon as you hit. Yeah. You know, like yeah. it's the crabs in a pot. You know that say the story, right? Where it's like you can put a bunch of crabs in a pot and they, if they all worked together, they could escape the pot. They could make a bridge and all that stuff.
Oh, right.
But anytime one crab tries to escape, they just bring him back down. Oh,
I've actually never heard that, but it's on the screen right now. That's crab mentality.
Yeah.
I like that. It reminds me of when I was working in England. I was like 21 years old and we're trying to send, have I ever told you this? Trying to send a fax to Riyadh at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
To what? Who?
We're trying to send a fax to Riyadh.
What's Riyadh?
Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Oh. Okay. Why would I know that?
And she's a teacher too.
Teaching America's youth.
But like 81 of the 82 pages kept sending. And so it's me and another guy from General Services, sort of the lowest rung at a law firm. And I was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was like, and he was like, I'm working class, mate. And like, what do you want to be? And I'm like, I think I'm going to be a millionaire before I'm 30. And he was, and this is what he said to me. Do you know what happens when an American, when your American friend gets a Jaguar? You do this, hey buddy, and he said this in an American accent. Like, that's what they do. By the way, and you know how when we do it, when we're saying somebody said something stupid, we do a Southern accent, like, mm-hmm. And then he said, y'all gonna come over here and eat this cobbler or whatever. British people sometimes do a perfect American accent, like when they're saying somebody's stupid. So he was like, so then he did this. You would do this. Oh, hey, Kevin, where did you get that Jaguar? I want to be just like you. I also want a Jaguar. And
that's like, how we speak.
Yeah, exactly. And then he said, this is what a British person does. Let's key it. And I was like, that's crab mentality, yep, right there.
Yep.
It's pulling. Who the hell do you think you are trying to do something that we're not also doing?
Yeah, it's really interesting because you see it on social media.
Oh, look, there's
too.
Riyadh. See? It's a place in the Middle East and there's zebras there. Here's the thing about Riyadh is that they have, because the Saudi Arabia has been closed off for so many years, they built exact replicas or like, actually cartoon replicas of all the wonders of the world.
Oh, cute.
They have a Greek village and an Eiffel Tower, and you can see it all from a gondola.
Is there a flight there from Burbank Airport? It says 22 hours and 30 minutes from Burbank.
It's a hot
spot.
Who knew?
They don't fly direct to Chicago, but to Riyadh, we got this shit. Oh, that's funny. But in terms of like, I see it a lot on social media where, you know, recently there was this woman named Risa Tisa who told a 50-part series about her pathological liar ex-husband. And there were so many people like on her side as the series is blowing up and as it's going. But then there's this perception that now Risa has all these opportunities, right? Like BMW is reaching out to her, potentially give her a car. She was on Good Morning America. And now you start to see the tides turning. People start trying to find cracks in her story and they start trying to bring her down.
Oh, because she's getting some sort of benefit.
Because she's benefiting from it. And it's a weird thing. And I think a lot of it is because people A, related to the story when they were listening to it, and then when somebody gets opportunities from it, they go, wait a second, well, my story was worse, and they do this
measuring of misery
bullshit. But also I think they see somebody who is normal and just like them doing some shit for themselves, and they feel embarrassment or shame that they're not doing the same thing in their own life. So the only way to get even is to tear that person down.
That's
and not get drunk with them too.
This is why I don't go on the fucking internet. Yeah. I go on it to buy things. Oh, and by the way, I've planned this thing for you.
Oh no.
That when you do
why is Isaac laughing? Does he know about this?
No.
Okay, good.
But I'm gonna tell him. Speaking of buying things on the internet, I've planned this thing for you. It's not really a way to get even because you don't do anything. It's a way to settle Kelly,
it's a threat more so than getting
Kelly
even.
Arrived
you
3 hours
not.
I mean 3 minutes too early to pick me up today, and I was really, really cranky. I was having a cranky day. It's fading now though. You're fixing it.
Yeah, but you're always cranky when I pick you up in the morning.
Yeah, I hate.
But it
I
was funny
mornings.
Because he was walking out of his building and he's trying to frown, but I'm just smiling really big at him and he couldn't help but smile back.
I burst into a smile.
I was laughing because last episode we talked about all the packages that he ordered three of for the outfits.
Oh yeah,
No. I actually.
Oh, you should do a try on.
I got stuck with two pairs of flowered suit pants because I couldn't get over to the UPS on time. So now I just have them. Anyway,
that's okay. You can never have too many flowered pants.
I think you can. I think all you need is one pair. Because I'm wearing them on Sunday at the Burbank convention for Supernatural. The theme is flowers.
Oh, by the way, I started watching Supernatural. I'm only in the first season, but
I can't watch it. I know all these people too well.
Yeah, I would assume it'd be interesting or difficult for you. I found a guide online that listed out like the must watch episodes and then like suggested watches and stuff. So I'm not going to watch all of them because the first few seasons are very episodic.
Years of it.
Yeah, but I'm I want to get enough of the backstory so that once you enter the show, I know what the fuck is going on.
Oh, yeah. People that love it really love it. And I love that they love it. And the cool thing about being on a show like that is that most of the messages I get are from like either parents or their kids doing this. This is about how I bonded with my father, mm-hmm. and very real stuff. And then you'll see them at the conventions that we have for Supernatural, and they're like, this is my dad, the guy I told you about on the internet. And he's like, yeah, she sucked me into it and we watched it for, you know, 15 seasons. And I'm like, that's just a really cool thing to be a part of. And one of the, and also the show gave me some of my closest friends. I mean, mm-hmm. they're like my brothers and sisters, but I can't watch it. Did I ever tell you about the time that my friend got nominated for an Oscar? Mm-mm. And I had a housewarming party and invited a bunch of people over, and a friend of mine came over and did mushrooms, like a bunch of them.
Fine.
And then the party started to clear out, and I thought he just Irish goodbye, and I found him naked and crying in my upstairs bathroom.
That was the pilot of Naked and Afraid. Yeah, yeah. It's just on mushrooms in yeah. the stranger's house. They're like, nah, let's put him in the forest.
getting his pants back on is the third hardest thing I've ever done to this day. And then he gets nominated.
Like little toddlers when you're on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Kicking a leg.
And then he gets nominated for an Oscar. And people are like, have you seen Blank's Academy Award nominated performance? I'm like, no, I've seen this motherfucker naked and crying in my upstairs bathroom. I can never watch him do anything ever again. That's how I feel about watching my friends act. Yeah. It's bizarre. And people that know me well think it's weird to watch my stuff too.
Yeah, I mean that the only reason I'm watching is because I really haven't seen almost anything that you've been in, and I'm like, I keep saying he's a great actor, but I don't even know.
Yeah, you have no idea.
I could have no idea if he's good. I don't want to lie to people.
I'm marginal. No, but I feel that way so much that, and it's interesting because when people meet me, I'll get messages for them that I've wrecked something that they really like by knowing me. Like, I love that. I'll hear this a lot. I love the new guy, and then we became friends, and now I can't watch it anymore. You've wrecked that for me. That was a part of my childhood. I'm like, yeah, it sounds about right. Stick around. See what else I can wreck for you. That's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, Luis Castillo loves the new guy.
He really does. It was the number one movie in Mexico for like 16 weeks or something.
He was saying it's an underdog story. Part of the Mexican legacy now.
it's really cool. I mean, because it really is a movie about being marginalized, mm-hmm. and people really identified with that, and especially Mexicans they can identify with that, and so it's also cool because I can tell pretty much by like your race or like what you're wearing, what you're going to respond to. I can tell if you're a fan of the Larry the Cable Guy movie from across the parking lot.
Yeah, it's easy to tell with the red hat.
Yeah, exactly. You're a bad person. I love all my fans.
I just said red hat. I didn't say anything else.
That, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me once with Kelly Clarkson was on What's What Happened Live. Mm-hmm. You know that
I love that show.
That Bravo show that, what's his name, host?
Andy Cohen. Love Andy Cohen.
And he was calling her to task for calling Miley Cyrus a pitchy stripper, like on the American Music Awards. And she was like, no, I typed out pitchy stripper. I did not say Miley Cyrus. And he was like, but it was after Miley Cyrus's performance. He was like, no, my man.
I could have been talking about anyone.
I could have been talking about that. He was like, but it was after you. No, I did not say Miley Cyrus, my man. I did not say Miley Cyrus.
Plausible deniability. I mean, I'm watching Married at First Sight Australia right now, which like
obviously.
Stan
and I. That's the least surprising thing I've ever heard you say.
Well, Stan and I watch the American version, but the Australian version is so much better. There's so much more drama. But there is a guy on the season who is just so specific about how he talks so that he always has this plausible deniability. And it's like, or anything that he does where it's like, why did you kiss this other wife's neck? And he's like, oh, I never know where to kiss with the makeup on the face. It was an accident. I didn't know it happened. It's just like people that do that drive me nuts.
And then he says this, oi, put it in me dumper. Put your gay on me face. The Australian accent.
That's exactly what he said.
And he was like, I didn't mean that. That could mean many things.
His name's Jack. His nipple's always out.
Well, that's basically interesting because you know that I'm obsessed with an Australian reality show called The Block.
Yeah. You should be watching Married at First Sight.
I'm thinking about it right now. Like while you were talking, I didn't hear any of that. I was thinking about what happened last night on the block. I love the block so much. And for the, have I ever talked about that on this show?
Only every episode. Every episode.
Okay. Well, here's more of it, motherfuckers.
This is actually a block recap show.
This is a free podcast. I can say whatever. I can say whatever I want.
Let's just do a recap episode every week and call it a day. You did send me a video though that was like so. It was so egregiously fucking sexist. I can't remember. Oh yeah.
And that's the thing. I think that was from 2015 is where I am right now in the show, and they're still saying. Like a man went shopping the other day and they basically called him a fag because he went shopping.
Yeah, it is funny. Like there has been such a leap in the language that is allowed and accepted now. And it's happened so quickly that it almost tricks your memory into thinking that it's been this way for a long time. And then you watch things that are fairly recent and you go, oh my fucking God.
Yeah. I mean, a man misses a nail on that show and hits his thumb with a hammer and they basically beat him to death with a baseball bat and it's a hate crime.
Like, what are you, a woman?
Exactly. But I love it because here's the thing. It's mean-spirited in the right way. Like, it's not making fun of people. They literally put five couples of people into a derelict building and force them to renovate it from the inside out while they sleep in the rubble.
And like, it does surprise me what we can get away with calling reality TV when it's really just like slave labor.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, but there will be a camera crew. So,
exactly, so it's fine. I mean,
we are going to verbally abuse you.
I mean, a grown man has started crying recently. And like, he really is getting... The men on the crew don't respect him. And it's, I think, partially because he's differently minded. I think he could be on the spectrum. I mean, obviously I can't diagnose anybody, but he doesn't seem to have what would appear to be parroting normal social responses. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he got really overwhelmed and started crying, and he's done it twice, and I found that he's getting yelled at, he's getting bullied, and it's really kind of troubling to watch. And then I'm Googling. See, the problem with watching reality shows from 10 years ago is that you're pissed off about shit that happened 10 years ago and you're trying to find a community to support your
feelings.
And
it's a fairly niche show, that probably doesn't have its own Reddit sub post.
No, you go to Reddit and somebody will ask a question about it and then a bunch of 12-year-olds, you know, saying you have a small dick. You know what I mean? Underneath it. Like, there's no help for you.
They're the future hosts of the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's where they were recruiting people from.
But it is jarring. And I mean, and you're right about that, is that we do have an idea. It's the same way that when you're talking about, like, you know, like marriage rights or marriage equality or any of that stuff, people think that it's so much longer than it was.
Yeah. Like, my brother and his wife didn't get legally married until, like, so they had a wedding, but they, once it was passed here, they did a little ceremony at their complex where they, like, legally did it.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. That's how they get away from all the homophobic allegations. I'm just kidding. Like, no, we waited. No, I'm just kidding. I wanted to bring up something else, but how are we on time?
37.
Great. So you had another travel disaster.
What happened
before New Orleans when the train did not go from LA to San Diego?
There's a landslide.
It was a disaster in your life.
Yes, there's a landslide in San Clemente, and I always take the train down to San Diego because it's just, you know, it's a 20-minute Uber ride to Union Station, and then you get. Did I talk about taking the bus on the podcast?
I don't think so.
We talked about this trip, but
you didn't.
Okay,
you were thinking you might have to.
Okay,
and going to the stop, like, are you going to make it? Where are you going to go?
Yeah. So there's a landslide in San Clemente because of all the rain. California really is not habitable. It's not. I mean, it missed for 3 minutes, and houses like slide onto railroad tracks. Like it's
yeah. San Diego flooded completely. Yeah, exactly. A couple weeks ago.
And so there's a landslide, and so now you take the train from Union Station to Irvine, get off and get into a bus, and then take the bus to Oceanside and then the train down. Well, I didn't think I wanted to do that, so I booked Oh, no. All the trains were sold out because I waited too long because they're down from like 13 trains to three. And I never can plan anything. So they were sold out. So I booked a Greyhound bus down there because I cannot drive to San Diego because I know that driving back, I'll be hurting so bad that I won't be safe on the road. You can't find the Greyhound station. It's unfindable.
I know. I was like doing all this research for you. I'm like trying to find the exact pin of where to go.
I went on Reddit. It really was just people telling me to fuck off and have a small dick.
You were on the block.
You cannot find it.
Yeah.
And so then I start panicking and I start checking back every hour because my friend group down there are not people that like to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. They're far removed from like my life here. And when I have to cancel for work or whatever, I just get upset. Mm-hmm. No sort of like commiseration or it's okay. We'll do it another time. And so I knew I had to make this trip and I was feeling pressure and I wanted to see them. So at the last minute, a ticket popped up. I took the thing down. It was a little annoying, you know, if you have to get off and wait for a train. But on the way back, I was so hungover, I could barely walk. And I get to Irvine, and you have to walk up 5 stories of steps to get across to the other side.
There was no elevator?
The elevator was broken.
Oh, of course it is.
And so it's like, I couldn't believe it. You know sometimes when you can't believe it? It was like that. It was really bad. So I stood there in astonishment, and so I went in and bought some Doritos and a Diet Coke, and I sat down and think you have to walk up those damn steps. It was so awful. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It really was hard. It was hard.
He's a survivor.
I am a survivor. So Kelly and I do that all the time. Whenever we tell a story that's really not that traumatic. It was traumatic to me. There it is. Okay, it was 3 stories, but it was a lot and it was raining.
Yeah, anytime we're complaining about something where life just isn't that hard, we just go, a single mom who works 2 jobs and loves her kids and never stops.
With a gentle hand and the heart of a fighter, I'm a survivor. It's the Reba theme song.
And then I send him Reba gifts, which you got in our group text the other day, Isaac, in case you were wondering about that. So that's kind of our thing.
Yeah,
anytime I see a bird walking alone, I take a video of it and put that song over it. It just is the joke that keeps on giving.
It really is. But it's also a funny way to do this. Well, so you had to walk up 3 flights of steps.
Yeah.
Come on. You're a survivor.
It's a way to commiserate in a fun way. It's like, oh, I get that. That's annoying. But also, I'm not really
justifying
this.
But it wasn't just annoying. Like, I did not make... See, all of my choices up to that point did not reflect 3 flights of stairs. I would have chose differently. No, I wouldn't. I don't learn anything ever.
But you were so upset about the stairs that you, what, accosted an elderly couple?
No, I did not accost an elderly couple.
I murdered them.
No, here's the thing. I didn't accost an elderly couple. I blew up at an old man. It's different. Here's why.
Well, I told you you should explain yourself on the podcast just in case he has a TikTok or
here's
something.
Why.
I don't know.
Here's what happened. So we get to Union Station in downtown Los Angeles, and they give out those snack boxes. Mm-hmm. And so he and his wife and 2 other people who I think they may not live in Lake Havasu, but they're wearing the costumes of people who do.
They've got their Lake Havasu uniforms on.
And so I look over and their table is fucking destroyed. There is trash everywhere. And I take this route quite a bit. So I know like the conductors on it reasonably well. I mean, we don't go to each other's houses, but we know each other by face. And it's always like, when I got on, this young female conductor hugged me. She's like, I haven't seen you in forever. And I was in a space after walking upstairs where I needed some love. and the universe provided it. So I get mad. And so I said to them, you know, I was like, have some respect. You should clean this stuff up. And then he said something, I can't remember exactly, but some words were exchanged. Mm-hmm. And then I apologized to the lady, and then homie over his shoulder said something dismissive or mind your own business or something that was just a really wealthy older person attitude to have. Right. And
it's
I
like
lost
the help will get
and
it.
I lost yeah. my like the help will get it. Yeah. And I lost my fucking mind. I am nobody's white savior. I'm not trying, but it's fucking common decency.
It's so disrespectful. Yeah.
I had walked upstairs, Kelly, and I'd had enough. And so I did.
Not only was I climbing the stairs, but my blood pressure was climbing rapidly.
And so I broke into a full Southern accent against my will and threatened to whoop his ass. And the thing is, I would have done it. Yeah. I'm not joking. You may think I couldn't whoop somebody's ass, but I could. I would prison whoop somebody's ass. I would pick up something and use it as a weapon and go to prison.
I think you were totally justified. You texted me, you're like, am I an asshole for this? And I was like, no, fuck that. I can't stand when people disrespect people who they perceive to be lower value than them.
It makes me insane. Again, I'm not trying to be anybody's defense, but we live in a society. There are certain rules.
Yeah.
And one of the rules is don't be an asshole. And also there was a garbage can right there and there was shit everywhere. And also I'm like, there's literally not that much stuff in these snack boxes. Where did this come from?
You guys brought your own trash from home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's an electricity bill here. This is like half a suit.
That's like when walking around the neighborhood with a dog. It's like nobody fucking picks up dog shit anymore. And these are the scum of the earth people, because they want things to be clean for them, and they would complain about other people doing it, but yet turds everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Speaking of that, I had to go to I stopped at a truck stop in Louisiana on the way back to New Orleans from Lafayette, and was peeing, and then there were four urinals and they were all taken. Three of the four people did not wash their hands when they left the bathroom. Ooh. So here's the thing that's comforting about that. There's dick everywhere. It's really on.
Never been a comforting thought for me. I don't.
It's on everything. So when we're all worried about over sanitizing, I mean, you subconsciously touch everybody's dick all the time, and it's like, I was like, that's actually a comforting thought. There's nothing you can do about it.
There's not a dickless spot in this world.
Just ease into it.
If you accept the dicks into your heart and soul.
No, but the point is like we're also worried about, you know, germs and everything and yeah. But and we should be kind of thoughtful about it, and wash our hands as a common courtesy. But we've all survived this whole time.
Well, that's when people talk about like microplastics in your food or a restaurant had this bug or something in it. I'm like, if I can't see the bug and the food tastes the same, I don't want to know about it.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me there's a bug in the food before I eat it. But after I've eaten it, if it tasted the same, then it tasted
the same. Yeah, also, you don't want to know too much about food.
No, I don't want to know much about anything. I wish I could know less about everything.
Knowing less makes you happy.
Yes, yes.
that should be Donald Trump's campaign slogan.
To be dumb and happy, what a blessing that would be.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. You know, the more you know, rainbow, the more you know.
The more you know, and then it's like just a plane flying off of a cliff into the ocean. It's like, that's what the fucking logo should be.
Knowing is hard.
There's just a dumb person underneath it holding a balloon with their thumb up. All right, let's get out of here.
That was that was really funny. I didn't know women could be funny.
Guys, check out the more funny stuff on Patreon. Patreon.com/loadedpod. You can email us at probablyloadedpod@gmail.com. Send us your questions.
Comments. Even if they're not nice, we'll ignore them and send it to us.
Please don't. I'm fragile. And you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at loadedpod.
And I'm going to open up a TikTok account.
Yeah, you should have by the time this comes out.
They just made it illegal, or trying to make it illegal, so maybe it won't even be a thing, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Let's get a couple of good weeks in.
Well, if a man could somebody could post one video of me, say it's me, and that person have 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
What if I open a whole TikTok account and have 9,000 followers?
Guys, really, it's me.
I'll be mad, and I'll blame you for it.
Yeah, I know you will.
I know.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, y'all.
Sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
And tune into your favorite podcast.
With quoted.